The reading this morning is Isaiah 43, chapters 16 through 21. Thus said the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters, who brings out chariot and horse, army and warrior. They lie down, they cannot rise. They are extinguished, quenched, like a wick. Do not remember the former things or consider the things of old. I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and the rivers in the desert. The wild animals will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, for I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I formed for myself, so that they might declare my praise. The next reading is Philippians 3, 4 through 14. If anyone else has reason to be confident in the flesh, I have more, circumcised on the eighth day, a member of the people of Israel and the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew born of Hebrews, as to the law of Pharisees, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. Yet whatever gains I had, these I have come to regard as loss because of Christ. More than that, I regard everything as loss because of the surpassing value of knowing Jesus Christ, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things, and I regard them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes out of the law, but one that comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God based on faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his sufferings by becoming like him in his death. If somehow I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or have already reached the goal, but I press on to make it my own, because Jesus Christ has made me his own. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to see what lies ahead. Press on toward the goal of the prize of the heavenly call of God in Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Janushka. Let us pray. O God, we give you thanks for your word. May our ears hear it. May our eyes see it. May our hearts be moved by it. Sufficiently enough that we will feel compelled to implement it in the world. Amen. I am not quite sure if any of you thought that the first scripture reading which Janushka read sounded familiar. I hope it did. Lynn, Ann, and Lisa and I drew our stewardship campaign motto from this morning's Hebrew scripture reading. Do you remember? See The prophet Isaiah says, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm hoping perhaps after this worship service, you may just go in between the parking lot and the playground to see these new shoots coming up against the fence. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I love this scripture. It explodes optimism and excitement. In our Christian scripture reading, Paul deeply desires to feel this new thing that he knows can spring forth in him. Paul concludes, quote, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. As we approach the conclusion of Lent and anticipate Easter, I want to feel and sense something new and different. And I think spring, these warm temperatures, help me do that. I want to feel and sense something inspiring and wonderful come Easter. I want a closer relationship with God, and I want that spirit to be infectious. I want the story of Christ's resurrection to engender our own personal resurrections. And I want everyone in this community, in Brattleboro, and in its surrounds, to encounter my spirit and your spirit and say, I want more of that. But I want to be realistic. I don't want to be Pollyannish. I don't want to be pie in the sky. And I don't want to exude a disingenuous excitement. I want our renewal on Easter to be realized and not simply hoped for. Both of our scripture readings give us, I think, the key to perceiving that new thing that God will do in our lives. Both of our readings, however, before they perceive this new thing, both of them, immediately before speaking about renewal, advise us to let go of something. Before the behold, I am doing new things of Isaiah chapter 43, verse 19, verse 18 states, first, before beholding the new thing, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past, the prophet said. And before Paul expressed his desire to know Christ and the power of the resurrection in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, Paul says that which he needed to lose, he considers rubbish. And I love the fact that he uses the word rubbish rather than trash. I'm used to the word rubbish. And that Paul says that he needs to lose something, lose the rubbish in him, in order to perceive the new thing, it only makes sense. In order to accept something with open arms, we need to let go of that which burdens us. So if we go back to our first reading from Isaiah, for those in exile in Babylon, in order to enjoy something new, they needed to lose what? They needed to lose their shame. You see, Isaiah spoke to a people who were humiliated, who were enslaved, who were taken to a foreign land. And they understood that God had abandoned them because of their sin. But more than that, they understood that God not only caused their sufferings, but God also orchestrated them. That's a fantastic sense of shame. But God said to them through the prophet Isaiah, forget about the former things. Do not dwell in the past. For I am doing a new thing. For the apostle Paul, it was not shame that had to be gotten rid of, but it was precisely the opposite. It was pride that had to be relinquished. Paul was, and you can hear it, puffed up like a peacock. He was so proud of his race. He was so proud of his family. Paul was so proud of his education. He was proud of his profession. Paul was proud of his success. Paul was proud of his status. Paul was so full of pride that there was no room left for appreciation or dependence or even love for God. Friends in Christ, I want you this morning to just ponder for a moment. What is it that we must leave behind? What is it that you must leave behind this Lent as we approach Easter? We cannot experience a new thing that God will do for us if we as individuals or if we as a church are holding on to and carrying rubbish. What is it that we need to let go of? What is it that you need to let go of? Speaking very personally, if I want God to do a new thing in me, I need to rid myself of resentment. That is what is in me. Resentment. And I don't need to go into specifics. But those of you who know me, know me. I saw a Dilbert cartoon last week that read, I died on the inside years ago. Now I am just a fleshy container full of coffee and resentment. I had my coffee this morning. Resentment is something that consumes us. It steals new life and possibilities from us by pouring time and energy into a dead past. Carrie Fisher once said that resentment is like taking poison and waiting for the other person to die. It doesn't make any sense. Some of you, like me, may need to get rid of resentment. Others here perhaps need to dispose of jealousy. Jealousy really achieves nothing. It really doesn't. Blowing out someone else's candle doesn't make yours shine any brighter. Jealousy is massively counterproductive, for it robs us of enjoying that which we have. And we may even have it more than others, but we are blind to it, for we only seethe about that which we do not have. And we achieve nothing but our own misery. And if truth be told, jealousy is a form of hatred based only on insecurity. Some of us need to get rid of negativity. I once read a small plaque, in fact it was in Central Park, and I wrote it down, I put it in my wallet. I once read on a small plaque on a park bench, and it read, "In memory of Roger Bucklesby, who hated this park and everyone in it." That was the best plaque ever. If we are full of negative, there is no room for positive. Negative people will always find fault with something. And it seems that their identity is premised upon identifying things that cannot be done. Blessed are those who find reasons to do and to accomplish things. I personally actually believe that one is no more right than the other. Negative people often have really good points, just as positive people do. But over time, one accomplishes everything, and the other accomplishes very little, and even detracts from those who are doing something. Being positive doesn't mean ignoring the negative. Being positive means overcoming the negative. And there's a big difference between the two. For new life to spring forth within us, many of us need to get rid of shame, as did the Hebrews in exile. Some of us need to get rid of pride, as did Paul. Some of us need to let go of resentment, like me. Or perhaps we need to release ourselves from jealousy or negativity. And no doubt there is a laundry list of other life-stifling attitudes that we must forfeit in order to have open hearts and open minds and open arms to a new and beautiful and life-affirming possibilities. Let me conclude by saying, it is at this table that we symbolically take the bread and the wine and we consume it as the body and the blood of Jesus. It is the broken body, it is the shed blood. And by eating this bread and by drinking this wine, we are declaring the death of ourselves and our openness to new life, reunited with God and in tune with God. At this table, we come to die to ourselves and thus to live for God. Is this not the story of Jesus' death and resurrection? Is this not the story of Lent as we lead ourselves to Easter? Friends in Christ, this is the season to discard that which hinders us from living life to the fullest and in accordance with God's will. This was the word of God. And it was preached to the people of God, and the people of God responded.